Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We'll continue from yesterday with Canto 3, Chapter 15. Reading text number 47. This is the, come on in. Other people are going to sit back there later probably too, so. All right, front row. The four Kumaras are speaking. They're at the gates of Vaikuntha. They're addressing Lord Narayana, who has come to receive them and deal with the situation. The Kumaras, we discussed yesterday, they're heads of a sampradaya. They heard directly from Lord Brahma, but they also heard directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that way they're the head of sampradaya. They are Shaktyavesh avatars themselves. They're invested by the Personality of Godhead with the fullness of his Jnana Shakti. So they're very special personalities, very authoritative. There's a nice discussion in the 10th canto, one of the very last chapters, not the last, but towards the end, prayers by the personified Vedas. So there's a discussion there between the personified Vedas and the Kumaras. I mean, the point is, they're topmost authorities. So bear that in mind as we're hearing from them. We know that you are the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, who manifests his transcendental form in the uncontaminated mode of pure goodness. This transcendental eternal form of your personality can be understood only by your mercy through unflinching devotional service by great sages whose hearts have been purified in the devotional way. Purport. The Absolute Truth can be understood in three features: impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here it is admitted that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the last word in understanding the Absolute Truth. Even though the four Kumaras were instructed by their great learned father Brahma, they could not actually understand the Absolute Truth. They could only understand the Supreme Absolute Truth when they personally saw the Personality of Godhead with their own eyes. In other words, if one sees or understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the other features of the Absolute Truth, namely impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma, are also automatically understood. Therefore, the Kumaras confirm, quote, "You are the ultimate Absolute Truth." The impersonalist may argue that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead was so nicely decorated, he was therefore not the Absolute Truth. But here it is confirmed that all the variegatedness of the Absolute Platform is constituted of Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness, in the material world, any quality, goodness, passion, or ignorance is contaminated. Even the quality of goodness here in the material world is not free from the tinges of passion and ignorance, but in the transcendental world, only pure goodness without any tinge of passion or ignorance exists. Therefore, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his variegated pastimes and paraphernalia are all pure sattva-guna. Such variegatedness in pure goodness is exhibited eternally by the Lord for the satisfaction of the devotee. The devotee does not want to see the Supreme Personality of Absolute Truth in voidness or impersonalism. In one sense, absolute transcendental variegatedness is meant only for the devotees, not for others, because this distinct feature of transcendental variegatedness can be understood only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord and not by mental speculation or the ascending process. It is said that one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead when one is even slightly favored by him. Otherwise, without his mercy, a man can speculate for thousands of years and not understand what is actually the absolute truth. This mercy can be perceived by the devotee when he is completely freed from contamination. It is stated, therefore, that only when all contamination is rooted out and the devotee is completely detached from material attractions can he receive this mercy of the Lord. The nature of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a Purana, Bhagavat, Purana, and so it's giving history. And the history, there's a spot right here. Look at this. There's a history. Multiple histories of personalities coming to the stage of realization of the absolute truth. So say the same thing in a different way. Srimad Bhagavatam, among many things, is commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And Vedanta Sutra is a search for the absolute truth. Janmad yasya yataha, atato brahma jigyasa. Janmad yasya yataha, that from which everything comes. And the absolute truth in fullness is Bhagavan, which only makes sense. Makes sense in a lot of ways. Here we have person. Prabhupada would say it over and over again. I mean, when he would speak about it in class, he would say it like 5 times. I have a father, and my father has a father, and my father has a father, and so on, and he who has no father, that's the original father, how do we have fathers here if in the absolute there's no fatherhood? So you would say it again and say it again. It's not infinite regress. There is the source of everything. It's logical. It doesn't prove anything. It's just sensible. And the other is not sensible. Just listening to Prabhupada speak on this point yesterday. Has anyone heard of a lineage where somewhere in the lineage or the original origin of that lineage is a non-person? So why do you conclude that the origin is a non-person? But that person, the original person, is not of this world. That would make sense too. Because of this world is of the potencies, one of the potencies of the origin of everything, and that origin of everything has all potencies. Say it negatively. Here there's potencies. The origin has no potencies. Is that sensible? But that's the assertion of certain class of philosophers. So, aside from the sensibility, there's this revelation of these great authorities. Now, if I'm a scientist or an impersonalist, I may not care about the authority of the four Kumaras. Or I may interpret their assertions in a different way because it matches my predisposition. It is known in science that this scientist and that scientist, looking at the same empiric data, reach different conclusions because of the predisposition or the mindset that they have, the paradigm that they have about truth. And they see the data differently. That's imperfect senses and the limitations of reasoning. You see data and you interpret the data with the mind. And then you say, da-da-da-da. This is what the data says. So, we're in that same category. We're conditioned souls with imperfect senses and a mind that's fallible, makes mistakes. So, how are we to understand the Bhagavatam? How are we to understand Bhagavad Gita? How do we understand Bhagavan? How do we understand what the source of everything is? And it's right here. It's with mercy. And that mercy comes through disciplic succession. Okay, Kumaras heard from Brahma, but they didn't realize it. So there's some special mercy. Now, the special mercy, we discussed this yesterday, it may have been delayed. But recognizing the mercy the Kumaras had received from Brahma and their searching aptitude, the Lord revealed himself in So they're just seeing him for the first time, but they know all about him because they heard from Brahma. They just hadn't realized it yet fully. So same for us. We've heard and we haven't realized yet fully. So we need some mercy, right? We need a whole lot of mercy. And that dispensing of that mercy is in the hand of one who's merciful. So I'm impatient. I want mercy now. Mercy is withheld from people who are demanding like that. Now, there is an eagerness for mercy. That's important. You know this Prabhupadaism, the duck that quacks the loudest gets the bread. You know that? Anyone not know that one? Okay. One morning walk, it happened in London, I heard later, because someone else told the same story from London. But it happened in New York. We were in a place in Brooklyn called Battery Park Morning Walk, and part of the walkway through the park, there was a pond, kind of like a mini lake, a big pond or a little lake. And so Prabhupada went off the path and over towards the lake, and as he walked over towards the lake, the ducks came. And Prabhupada turned to the devotees, said, "Does anybody have any prasadam?" And somebody had some prasadam, and they, you know, so Prabhupada said, "Feed the ducks." And then, you know, they fed the ducks. And then we walked away, and Prabhupada said, "So what did we learn?" And everyone looked at everybody, and then Prabhupada said, "The lesson is, the duck that quacks the loudest gets the bread." You know, because they would reach their neck out and make the duck sound, quack, quack. And, you know, the one that would come to the front would get the bread, get the prasadam. So being enthusiastic to get Krishna's mercy helps to get Krishna's mercy. And then comes this other lesson, being patient. Which sounds, it's Rupa Goswami's teaching, isn't it? Utsahan nishchayat dairyat. Be patient while you're being enthusiastic. Sounds like go, stop. It's not stop, it's maintain enthusiasm, because we need Krishna's mercy. And we're allowing Krishna to dispense his mercy when he wants to dispense his mercy. Because he's the master and we're the servant, and our business is not to see Krishna as our order supplier for material or anything. We're dependent. But the relationship is not he's the order supplier. Hurry up. You got a big warehouse back there. Fill my order. What's going on? I'm going to lodge a complaint. The warehouse manager, he's not delivering what I want. But that's not right. Enthusiasm and patience with the firm conviction Krishna is very kind, Krishna is unlimited, and it's up to him. He can do with me what he likes. I want mercy. He can do with me whatever he likes. And that's not a wrong idea, that's the right idea. So maintain enthusiasm. So that's instruction for us, embedded within this nice verse, and then Prabhupada's explanation. They had this really special fortune. They said it in the previous verse we read yesterday morning. Great yogis, etc. And somehow you're showing yourself to me or to us. Such mercy. And mercy is needed to go beyond material conception, beyond the impersonal conception, beyond the Paramatma conception. It doesn't mean that the Paramatma conception, there's like something wrong with it. It's just not complete. It's a subset of the realization of devotees that have an understanding of Bhagavan and are at least are pursuing a relationship with the personality of Godhead. So until we have that experience of like the Kumaras here, it's spoken of many times. Chaitya Guru, the Super Soul within, guides us. And the Super Soul manifests himself externally as the spiritual master who says the same thing that Super Soul says. So we can... How do we know? Common question. If we have some inspiration, it's coming from Super Soul and not my mind. You know that one? Well, you can assume it's probably coming from your mind. But one of the ways to check, at least filtered, is what is the Guru Sadhu Shastra. So it's imperative that we become knowledgeable in Guru Sadhu Shastra. Problem, we're conditioned, so we're going to hear Guru Sadhu Shastra according to our filters. I'm anticipating the questions because I've heard them many times. So how do I know I've got the right picture of Guru Sadhu Shastra? Well, that's the sadhana stage, and you can assume you don't have it right. Or you've got a filtered version of it. Therefore, just because of the contamination conditioning. Therefore, continue the cleansing process and become in that cleansed state, become one who not only in behavior to the letter, but in spirit, so both the spirit and the letter, the feeling aspect, just like the question yesterday evening about charity. So give charity in the proper way, and the feeling aspect, that this is done this way because it's pleasing to Krishna. Not just, no, I'm headed in the right direction. It's good to be headed in the right direction. Give charity this way, not in these other ways. And not with the purpose that I'm going to get some recognition or I'm going to get something, but for the pleasure of Krishna. Because if you're not thinking for the pleasure of Krishna, someone else's get the accolades. So it's the cultivation of for the pleasure of Krishna. So that's the bhakti principle. And when the bhakti principle matures slowly, slowly, Krishna is pleased. And when Krishna is pleased, we can experience his mercy more. Like the sun shines. The sun shines equally everywhere. Krishna is equally merciful everywhere. When we become qualified with eager for the mercy of Krishna and the representatives of Krishna, the disciplic succession, dear representatives of Krishna, when that eligibility grows and grows, then we experience the mercy of Krishna more and more. That grows and grows. My experience grows. And the other processes, we could say it negatively, let's say it then positively. Negatively, they can't deliver that. Say it positively. Then if they can't deliver that, why are they even there? Because they help to qualify somebody to become eligible in that way. if the heart is not disposed towards the personality of Godhead, Krishna doesn't abandon that person. He gives them something that can help qualify them. And so there's all kinds of things. There's demigod worship, and there's this and that. The impersonal conception, and looks like Krishna's encouraging those that are going for it. The impersonal conception. Even the motivation is not, I want to know. The motivation is, I want to become God. So there's some facility, because he's kind to everyone. But that kindness is also to help qualify one. And then into the life of a very fortunate person comes a devotee who gives that connection with the personal feature, because they've received that connection with the personal feature from a kind person. Distributors of bhakti are essential for the well-being of society. And the distributors of bhakti have to be discriminating about how and who and when and where to deliver that benefit. Now, there are some methods, like the chanting of the holy name, that are universally beneficial. I'm thinking now of standing at the immigration counter entering China. I'm not going to say to that immigration agent, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Back to where you came from, bub. But we have to use our discrimination. Time, place, circumstance. But if the bhakti is being carried in the heart, then it's not just hiding when you're passing through some risky danger space. But and Krishna, please protect me. It's wishing well for that living entity. That's because that's Krishna, and we can be bearers of instruments of Krishna's mercy, appropriate for time, place, circumstance. So we're discriminating. Unless you're Prahlad Maharaj, then you can say anything to Hiranyakashipu and Shanda and Amarka and have attempted murder. Because so, if we're not on that platform, we're being selective. We're madhyamas being selective and discriminating. What's according to the living entity's position, what's appropriate. So back to the Bhagavatam is teaching us these three features. It's right in the purport. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Bhagavan is being confirmed in the verse by the four Kumaras as the final word in the absolute truth. They're very clear. They're clear that mercy has been required to have that realization, which they didn't have before, now they have. And they're declaring it here in the pages of the Bhagavatam, but the message is to the personality of Godhead, explicitly, directly spoken message. And we're the readers, the benefit is for us. That's why it's in the Bhagavatam. and again and again and again, so that there's clarity. Where does that tendency, the tendency to worship, where is it to be reposed? Because the tendency to worship is there within the living entity. If we don't repose it on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we're going to repose it somewhere else. Even the impersonal, worship of the impersonal. Chapter 12. Some persons worship the impersonal. And the worship of that impersonal is very difficult. And that, you know, those people say, of course it's difficult, because if it was easy, then everybody would be doing it. But, you know, only very special people like me are choosing that which is difficult, because I want the absolute truth. I want to become become the absolute truth. That's what I want. But they don't say that. Last snare of Maya. So we need mercy, and mercy, we need to receive it, and we need to distribute it according to our capacity, both receiving and distributing. And the more we try to receive, and the more we try to, the more you try to distribute, the more you realize you don't have much. Therefore, let me become better recipient of mercy. It works like that. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees that we're trying to become better instruments for distributing mercy, he gives us mercy. The Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is part of our realization of the absolute truth. It entitles us to be better mercy receivers by trying, even we're not so qualified, to try and assist Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his purpose of appearing in this world. He'll help us to be effective and help us to realize Krishna. Very nice process. See if there's some discussion. Yes.
On the topic of being discriminated.
Yeah.
There are some devotees who put themselves out there saying they are Hare Krishna people, and their colleagues and all are sometimes open to accept that, whereas some people are very guarded and they can do some little bit, maybe give prasad or more, give them influence in that way. But there's always this introspection where I may think that, can I do something more? Am I being too close? So there's always this, am I in my comfort zone? Should I go out of my comfort zone?
You're speaking about yourself.
Yes.
Okay. And so the question is,
how do I, what should I tell myself in that situation? Like
I don't know. It depends on what, you know. It's good to be introspective and understand what my capacity is, including my capacity of faith. It's like yoga, and this is yoga or physical therapy. The physical therapist that I was getting trained by wanted to know, I mean, what she said was, I advise the point where you pull back is where it hurts. Before that it hurts, you don't do too many of these and those, but, you know, do it several times a day. And where you draw the line is, where it hurts, you don't go there. But yoga, same. You know, you can. I know somebody that damaged their body very badly, like long term, not permanent, but because they were being pushed by their yoga instructor to do what they, you know, shouldn't have done. So they regret it. Now they can't do yoga for quite some time because... So, each of us are different. And the introspection factor is the final part. And then you do that which is sustainable. That for you. And somebody else, you know, something else may be sustainable and something else may be a shooting star. Hey, where'd they go? So it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur shares that the one can be identified, it's his incrementalism. One can be identified at a certain stage of yoga practitioner if this is the step or the platform that they stay on. Then one can identify, here's a karma yogi, here's a gyan yogi, here's a dhyan yogi, or whatever. A devotee, however, is progressive. They may be at this level, but they're not comfortable, the comfort zone term. They're doing that which is sustainable, and they're always looking to go further. Bhaktisiddhanta's language is different but similar. A Vaishnava is always looking to forward where they want to go. They're not complacent. But to do something that's sustainable, then it should be something that you can do regularly. The yoga, all these different examples, physical therapy. And it works. You do under guidance of a good physical therapy. You know, you can start to do stuff that you prior to that you couldn't do, and then you can do so many more of them, and it doesn't hurt you. So introspection, asking the question you ask, that's good, and stretch a little bit, not too much. And, you know, in different circumstances, in different offices, there can be, you know, more receptivity, and there can be something the opposite. There can be somebody in the office that's, you know, troublemaker. So we have to be circumspect about not only what's comfortable for us, but what's practical for the circumstance. Do we have a microphone? Go ahead.
You said about receiving mercy.
Said about what?
Receiving mercy.
Receiving mercy.
Yeah. One aspect that I understand is like we receive mercy through service. Through
receiving mercy to study?
Through service, Maharaj.
To do service. Receiving mercy to do service.
So what are the other aspects of receiving the mercy?
Eagerness. Oh, other aspects of?
I mean, to me, like, I want to understand what is receiving mercy means.
What does receiving mercy mean? That's what you want to know.
Yes.
Well, it's different for different people. What the experience is. Right? Receiving mercy can be you get a bonk on the head. You get obstacle after obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. That can be, you know, so the experience is different. But what does it mean is it's a relationship. And kindly, customized, for each person who is wanting Krishna's mercy, Krishna gives his mercy. It's what is it exactly? Is Krishna's drawing the living entity from their contaminated to the pure state? That's what it is. And the experience of it is different. Even for the same individual, different at different times. What is it? It's Krishna's kindly reaching because there's a call somewhere inside there to come closer, and Krishna's reaching to bring one closer. Now, supposing you're Mother Jasoda. You can't become Mother Jasoda. In the case of Mother Jasoda, she gets Krishna's mercy too. It's not like become closer to Krishna like she was some far distance away or covered or something. But mercy in the Shuddha Bhaktas is just reciprocations of love. That's Krishna's mercy in varieties of forms. But for us, it's, you know, getting freed from the coverings and getting closer to the state of Shuddha. Okay. All the way in the back.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. There are many people or different followers of different kinds of impersonal philosophies. So those people, they are coming closer to Krishna or going far off from Krishna?
How you can say they're coming closer to Krishna?
Probably because they have some spiritual inclinations. They are.
But the spiritual inclination with a gun in their hand, pointed at Krishna.
Not good. Not understand.
He has no form, he has no qualities. They're offenders. Not coming closer to Krishna. They're offenders. We should be clear. And you know that there's the disposition of heart is important, because out there in the spiritual marketplace, there are persons that are sincere, and what they get is poison instead of, and they swallow it. But that's not what they want. They don't want poison. They want truth. So such persons are in a different category than those that are ill-disposed. So the ill-disposed are Mayaya Paritagana personalities, very learned persons whose disposition of heart is God is dead, or there's no need of God because, fill in the blank, and they have their different. So the disposition of heart is what's really important, not just an ideology that one professes. Okay? Someone up front, raise your hand. All the way up front. Can you come bring the microphone? Now it is.
So like when Krishna kills the demons.
When Krishna kills a demon.
So he becomes a hero, and like basically it brings faith and like.
And what happens?
It brings the faith that like he's a hero, he will protect us. Like I'm just giving an analogy.
No, the demon doesn't have faith in Krishna because Krishna killed them.
Not demon, I'm saying like as a devotee, that when I heard that, that like I feel that like I get a faith. Okay, he's a
protector.
You're a devotee that hears about Krishna killing demons.
Yes.
So you now your faith in Krishna grows.
Yes, faith in Krishna grows. So as I grow and I see that like a demon is also part of him, but he sends the demon too. Like, you know, the Kumaras, like Dwarapalakas, they are also, they took the form of demons because they were serving him, and like, you know, the story goes like that. So, like, even that, like, the previously the Prabhu asked about the Mayavadis, or whoever is, like, doing their duties, they're also maybe part of them. If we think like that, we should think like what? They're also, maybe it's Krishna's.
Who's they?
The Mayavadis are like...
Again, depends upon the disposition of heart. Some are innocent and some are not innocent. Some are just influenced by da-da-da-da. And some are, you know, hardcore.
Yes.
So, and then there's in between.
Yes. So, is that as a devotee when I see that?
When you see such a person.
Such a person.
It depends on which end of the spectrum.
Both. Like, you know, in general, like in...
innocent persons is different.
I'm talking even like hardcore, like really bad people.
Okay,
like,
well, let's be clear who we're talking about.
You know, basically like they are Mayavadis and like...
Well, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Prakashananda Saraswati. But he had the capacity. Now, what about you?
I don't have...
Okay, so now?
So... When I hear that, like, there is a source, and then he sends all those things, and who I am to discriminate them?
You're a tiny, insignificant speck. That's who you are. But then there are authorities that they have the authority to say. That's so we repeat the message of those that have the authority to say. That's what we do. With faith. Maya Pratigana, Asaram Bhava Mashata. You have a different authority?
No.
So, what's the problem? I'm trying to understand your question.
My question is, when I have this type of conception in my mind, how to overcome that? That was my question.
How to overcome the?
Basically, when I see that, like, my bodies also have a role that, like, you know, there is a purpose or something that like they are trying to do, and I see.
Yeah, they're trying to kill Krishna. That's what they're trying to do. That's a fact. You're laughing, but it's a fact. Read Prabhupada's books and hear his recordings. These people, and he would like. He would try to deliver us, you and me, from that contamination. It's a contamination. So they render Bhagavad Gita where Krishna disappears. There is no Krishna on the authority of Krishna. Besides it's wrong and insulting, that's their intention. And if there's no Krishna, what's left? They're where it's left. They're the authority that's above Krishna. The Vedas are searching the absolute truth and there's no Krishna. That's, you know, go write your own book. Don't make commentary on Bhagavad Gita. But, you know, they want to eliminate Krishna. That's their intention. Scientists, some of them are not explicit, some of them are explicit. Our mission is to put God where he belongs, out of existence. So I saw this BBC documentary, you know, interviewing scientists. They're very clear what their mission is. Some aren't so clear. They're just influenced by those that are clear. And they're not recognized. So I'm sorry to go on a rant about this, but they're not able to recognize their senses are imperfect and their reasoning capacity is faulty. one of the big ones, where's the evidence? You know, with his voice raised. Where's the evidence? Krishna's not going to show himself to that person. He's going to be, he's going to give the intelligence how to persuade himself and others there is no God.
This is again a devil's advocate thing. It's not my intention. But Krishna do present them, right? Like, he appears and he gives mukti to Sola, comes as this, like, I want to kill him. But, like, what, he comes and gives mercy to him.
Well, where did Kamsa go after Krishna killed him? Where did Kamsa go after Krishna killed him? Where did Ravana go after Ram killed him? He didn't go back to Godhead. He became relieved of his reactions for his sins. You know, I've explored this. I've asked many, many, many people, you know, scholarly devotees. There's no clear explanation of where they went. They didn't go to the Brahmajyoti because they came again and they came again. So where'd they go? They didn't go to the Brahmajyoti and then fall again. So the liberation is neutralize their sins. They some kind of neutral state. But anyway, so what's your what are we doing here?
So I understand that, like, they're trying to kill Krishna, but, like, my argument is that they went again Vaikuntha Loka as a Dwara Palakas.
That's exceptional. That's not, you know that. I'm going to take the microphone from you. The giant Vijay becoming the, you know, these three, that's exceptional. In other words, they went back because that's their, they were doing a service. And they, when their service was done, they went back. And that's the exception. The others, you know, cast forever in demoniac species. You have to read more, not, and speculate less. The inquisitive spirit is good. It's, you read. You know, take your concern, your doubt, your, you know, I want to know spirit to the scripture. Don't argue with scripture, please. You have something? No. Anyone else? Shankadari, yes. Maybe you better do without because it's going to screech. Go ahead.
Maharaj, Kumaras heard from Lord Brahma and they became very enthusiastic or eager to find this Supreme, and that's why Lord Supreme Lord gave him the mercy, gave them the mercy. So the eagerness and mercy, and the, even though they received mercy from Lord Brahma, their experience is direct with the Supreme Lord.
I'm listening.
So when we were talking about the relationship, the mercy comes in a different forms. But the what is the experience of that mercy is a relationship with the Supreme. Is that...
It's
that
also different. It's very customized. Very personal. Experience is different. Here's a nice example from Scripture. Really nice. When Krishna enters the wrestling arena, there's a verse that says, this one saw him this way, that one saw him that way, the other. They had a different experience. It's the same person. But their regard for him, according to their regard for him, that's what they experienced. How's that? Same for us. Chanting of the holy name, a room full of people chanting in kirtan or each morning chanting japa, our experience is going to be different. And in part it has to do with the mind and the modes of nature and all that, but in the purified state it's also going to be different. As we become purified, and the next day and the next day, for even for any every one of us, it may be a little different, likely to be a little different. Dynamic and variegated, personal. Big adventure. No?
I thought that he has something like
microphone back there. You have another one?
Yeah, just to follow up on that, or the extension of that. So, but when one receives the mercy, the eagerness should increase because they're experiencing it. But often, they, you know, I see some devotees like they're not becoming more eager or just struggling with where they are. What is the cause for that?
Attachment to the temporary. Deep-seated attachment to the temporary. Addiction to the temporary. And the agency, the modes of nature and karma. So bhakti can dissolve karma, but you know, tendencies will remain. She doesn't know how to get the microphone to work.
Switch on.
We have a teenager back there.
Hi, Krishna. Guru Maharaj, I was thinking when you're saying that no, the ducks which quack
some
more.
I can't hear you.
The duck which quacks more,
the duck gets, that quacks more.
Yeah, gets the bread. So the what I was thinking, like no, if somebody is not they are eager, enthusiastic, but not really. I wanted to understand this enthusiasm. How we can say this is the enthusiasm, because
how to sustain enthusiasm?
Not sustain. Because what is the real enthusiasm? Because
it's spiritual.
Sometimes I see that, no, if a person is so much trying to appreciate other person, another superiors or something like that, and then I feel that, no, socializing, who has the skill of socializing more, they get that mercy, no?
What's the mercy barometer in that case?
In that case, like, no, just as a materialistic thing, it's like a materialistic thing. It's just I appreciate
you. That's not mercy.
Yeah.
It's something else.
Yeah.
Somebody is very private. Mm-hmm. Somebody is very social.
Mm-hmm.
Is the social person going to get Krishna's mercy more than the private person? Come on. Just have a different nature, psychophysical nature. There's variety in this material world and there's variety in the spiritual world.
And also, if at all one is not really being that skillfully being with everyone so much, so that talkativeness is not there.
If which is not there?
The talkativeness and communicating more.
Talkative and communicating more, the social thing. Again.
Yes. So then sometimes it is being silent. People might feel that, no? Or that person is so proud. That's why they're not...
People might feel all kinds of things. Oh, the social person, they're just show-offs.
Yeah.
So let people evaluate the way they're going to evaluate. That's not what's Krishna want?
Mm-hmm.
That's the standard. That's the litmus test the barometer that we go by.
Mm-hmm.
What's the intention behind the social person or the quiet person?
Mm-hmm. But if we are feeling that or they're thinking like that about me.
That's
feeling
your
bad
problem.
Feeling bad about...
That's your problem. Not their problem.
Okay, so that means I'm wanting to be recognized or something like that. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Wait. Mataji, you have something? Yes. Speak directly. It's on. Speak directly.
My question is why there is so much of...
Help. Turn the microphone on. Turn the microphone on. Someone that knows how to do it, turn the microphone on.
Okay.
We're on.
So why, Prabhupada, in most of the purport what I read, there is a comparison always,
in purports?
Yeah. So, okay. Comparison is there is a positive and
there's a what?
Positive comparison.
Positive.
Yeah. And there is a comparison towards the, with the impersonalist. So why we have to always compare with relative to something? Why not... we can put the same theme or the objective in a straightforward way.
Let me say back what I think you're asking, because the language is a little confusing. Many times in purports, Prabhupada is strong in the condemnation of impersonalists, and you want to know, on the one hand, why does he do that? Instead, why doesn't he just see they're interested in spirituality, and let's appreciate they're interested in spirituality. And rather than saying, saying condemning words about the impersonalists. Is that your question?
Not exactly.
So, then say it exactly. Why do we have to compare? It's not exactly compare. Rather, it's a factor of intelligence. What does the intelligence do? What's the function of intelligence? The function of intelligence is to discriminate. Now, that can have a negative connotation, but it's a function of, this from that. Correct? Intelligence is to discern. Use that's a softer word. To discern the difference between this and that. It's a function of intelligence. So, it's intelligent. That's just your. I don't know if we're on the same wavelength yet. A child, anamoya, everything goes to the mouth. Shoe goes to the mouth, their sister's ear goes to the mouth, everything goes to the mouth. Anamoya. Oral fixation in Western language. Then intelligence starts to discern. That's your brother's ear. Doesn't go in your mouth. And so there's difference between inanimate objects and animate objects, pranamoya. then Gyanamaya and Vigyanamaya and Anandamaya. You know that series. It's right in the Bhagavad Gita. You can look it up later. So that's the power of discrimination evolving. And Anandamaya requires recognizing the Bhagavan feature because that's where Ananda is. So now we'll go to Vijnanamaya. Then we'll go down to Gyanamaya. Gyanamaya is, it's a discrimination. Brahmabhuta, Prasanatma, Nasochati, Nakangsati, Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu. That's a discrimination. The living entity is the real person, the soul, not the body. Chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita. That's a discrimination, or discerning the covering and the self. That's an intelligence, and that's the Brahmabhuta stage, when one actually realizes, the Vijnana stage, where actually realizes, I'm spirit soul. And in that position, na sochati, na kangsati, samaksa. So that's the byproduct of discrimination. It's not a bad thing. It's a function of intelligence. Now keep going. Mad bhaktim labhate param. So one becomes a devotee, bhakti, and there's another discrimination or another discerning, the difference between impersonal and personal. Now, to your credit, you know, perhaps the spirit behind the question is, hey, the Brahman realization stage, that's one of the realizations of the absolute truth. So why this bad talk? But you're the one saying bad talk. It's why you even make a distinction. It's a function of intelligence. It's so the function of intelligence says it's incomplete or limited, and over here is complete and without limit. But then there's another thing, and that is those that are avid impersonalists, they're offenders. And this is where it gets energized. Not just, well, keep going. It's offenders. You have a mother and father, right? We all do. Your mother and father, they have no personality. They have no qualities. They have no form. They have no character. Excuse me. I take offense to that. And therefore, it's not just a matter of discrimination, it's a matter of an additional factor. It's insulting. Your mother, she has no personality. Pardon me. Go take your comments somewhere else. But they, you know, they keep it, that's their spirit. They're very clear about it. And do it again and again. That's their mentality. And behind that mentality is, I want to become the supreme. At least for some, you know, there's innocent persons and they just buy into what they hear. But there's some persons that are not so innocent. That's their spirit. They want to become the supreme. And therefore, so that's diametrically opposed. It's a discernment function of the intelligence to say, that's diametrically opposed to Anandamaya, the stage of consciousness that's, so they're depriving themselves and they're broadcasting this to others and damaging others that could become truly happy. Supposing I'm an environmentalist and I see all this toxin going into the air, into the water, into the lives of people, And I become an advocate for, you know, stop this. Oh, why discriminate? Why make this distinction between people that pollute the air and the water and people that don't? Because it makes the lives of people that live on this planet toxic. I've got to speak up. And there are people that are toxifying the soul. Atmaha. In the language of Ishopanishad, they're killers of the soul. I have direct experience of it. In my college, here's the direct experience. In my college days, there was an impersonalist that was traveling around in the college circuit, chanting Hare Krishna, had a cloak, behind his cloak was a dagger, and the cloak was become one with the chant. And the purpose was you become Krishna. When that became understood, I didn't understand what impersonalism was, but I left that person. Although I like chanting. It kind of sounded like, cool, become one with the chant. But that was his message. You become Krishna. And then over there was devotees. And they weren't saying become one with Krishna. They become awaken your loving devotion to Krishna. So there's a discernment factor. And Prabhupada is making it very clear. Out there in, you know, Wonderland is people who are saying kill Krishna. And you become Krishna. Depose the king. That's what Kamsa did. He imprisoned Ugrasena and he took the throne. Oh, don't discriminate. Excuse me. Krishna doesn't like that. So he killed Kamsa and put Ugrasena back on the throne. Put Krishna where he belongs. And there are people... it's a memorable impression, this BBC interview, where the scientists, knowing that they're being recorded, were saying, our mission is to put God where he belongs, out of existence. Why discriminate? These are dangerous people. Even aside from those that are on the path of bhakti, it's very dangerous for the general public, because it's taking people into a darker and darker. Is the world becoming better or more dangerous? Just read the newspaper any day. You don't know if you're just walking, you know, stay at your home or walk along the street or go anywhere or stay, you know, very dangerous. The world's not getting better. And a discriminating person wants to say, hey, that's why. And the brahmanas in Vedic culture, they're meant to guide the administrators. The brahmanas have to know. And if the person is taking the position of a brahmana, a person of knowledge, and leading people into a blind alley, and there's a gangster waiting at the end, hey, cut it out. Hey, people, this don't go down that blind alley. You got to do it. Now, it can be done in different ways. It can be gentle. It can be strong. But you got to do something. You okay? Do another one. Same thing. Somewhere, a teenage girl, during the re-elected question and answer thing, social advocacy, political advocacy, political activism, is it okay? And the specific topic was gun violence. And no, when then there's an assembly for gun violence, I'm there. You know, rah, rah, rah. But, you know, I've been wondering, because, you know, it's terrible. Got to do something. Political activism. Should I do it? I'm a devotee. Should I do it? Gun violence is horrible. But what's the root cause? Tamagun. And all kinds of sinful activities that lead to karmic reaction, that leads to a means of people receiving their karmic reaction. So what's the root cause? You need to address the root cause. You're a devotee. Vyasadeva saw all that stuff. What did he do? He compiled the Vedas. Then he was instructed by Narada, so compile Srimad Bhagavatam. So you're a devotee. Go to those people and convince them, because you're convinced, we have to become connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's because we become disconnected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's all this negativity out there. Kali Yuga is rampant. Getting worse and worse. We have to discriminate what the root cause is and say it. At least some people can wake up. And there may be few, but wake up. Those who are awake, those become the leaders, spiritual leaders, that can help lead other people in the right direction instead of into the ditch, into this dark alley with a bully at the other end. Society is headed in a very dangerous direction. So it needs to be spoken. Softly, maybe, but strong, maybe. Sometimes this and sometimes that. Okay, kind of went off on a rant. It's already after 8 o'clock. We've been going for an hour and a half. I think I should end. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.